Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Read the Chicago Reader to get up to speed on what's what in Chicago. Culture, food, arts and entertainment, weekly concert listings, weekly event listings, the environment, travel. I can continue, but you get the point. And for all of you Chicago political junkies, raw weekly columns on real city politics from Maya Dukmasova and our very own Ben Jarofsky. The Chicago Reader, free to the public in newsstands throughout the city and online at chicagoreader.com. Read it now and be a more informed Chicagoan.
I'm going to play a little bit of our interview with Jeanette Taylor. So check that out. And when that's over, Monroe Anderson. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I bring to you the pride and joy of the 20th Ward, the woman we proudly call JT. People go, wait, you're talking about Justin Timberlake? No, there's only one JT in Chicago. Her name is Jeanette Taylor, and she's the alderwoman of the 20th Ward. Jeanette Taylor, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming on the show today.
You're more than welcome, Ben. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. And on the eve of Thanksgiving, and I'm speaking from my absolute heart, for everybody at the Ben Jarofsky Show, thank you, Jeanette Taylor, for being who you are, for having the guts that you have, for having the courage that you have, and for taking the time to come on my little show and talking to me about it. So God bless you and happy Thanksgiving, Jeanette Taylor. Thank you. Say that.
And it is a pleasure always.
All right. And part of the reason I'm so fired up, we've been talking about this all week. And it's really about, okay, today, Tuesday, there was a vote in the Chicago City Council, right, Jeanette? 29-21. The mayor got her budget passed. Jeanette Taylor was one of the no votes. We'll get into that. But before this vote, there was a showdown, one of those meetings, virtual meetings that nobody's invited to except for the people in the meetings, even though it's aldermen and the mayor. And we've been talking about it a lot on the show. So, Jeanette, to sort of set the table for what went down today at the city council meeting, why don't you talk about the infamous meeting with Mayor Lightfoot and the Black Caucus where she said, don't come to me for shit if you don't vote for my budget. Take it away.
So that happened. So I'm on the Black Caucus and the Progressive Caucus. And because the Progressive Caucus, the Black Caucus, I'm sorry, has 20 members, per the Open Meeting Act, we can't all meet together. So they kind of separated us and we had a meeting with her. And so basically what she said was, anybody who doesn't vote on my budget, don't ask me for shit for 3 years. And I said to her, hey, so you mean to tell me as a new alderman, me voting against property taxes because I know that's not what my community wants, that really, that's what we gonna do? And she was like, yeah, I'm tired of people playing games with me. They say one thing and then go vote different. I said, well, I've told you from the very beginning, I got the utmost respect for you, but I don't agree with you politically. And so if I don't agree with you, if it hurts my community, I'm gonna vote my way. And so that's basically how I was left. And I went to the media and said what she said because I did like it. And I actually had a conversation with her and just told her, like, that's not fair. We should, for my community to be taken care of. And that's what historically has been done.
Okay, that's all you get. To hear the rest of it, go to the Chicago Reader website, chicagoreader.com/Jarofsky, J-O-R-A-V as in victory, S-K-Y, or wherever else you download your favorite podcast. It's dropping tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day at 5 a.m. Welcome back to the Ben Jarofsky Show, live from Ben's attic.
Live from my attic and live from his house, Monroe Anderson, every Wednesday. And not a lot of Trump news. We'll get into some Trump news. Usually it's Trump, 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 and Trump. Monroe, we're going to have to diversify a little. We're going to have to learn how to exist in a new world. No Trump, 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 Trump world.
We're now in Biden's world.
Yeah.
We
Monroe, you're having some audio issues. Maybe do you have maybe speakers turned up or something?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe crank her down a bit. Sounds like we're in a spaceship.
There's twice very curious.
I think we're good now.
Okay. No.
No, I think there's there's.
I think it's a volume issue.
You can see this. There's two images of Monroe Anderson here, so I think he might be doubled down.
Yeah, he is doubled down. Good looking out, Ben.
Yeah.
All right, let's remove this one. I got it, Monroe. Whoa, this is spacey. Monroe, are you there?
Now let's try it.
Ah, there we go.
Okay.
It took a baby boomer to figure that out. Ah, that's the genius.
I had a window blocking it there, so I saw it. So now we're good.
That's correct.
We're going to have to get ready for the Biden era. That's what you were saying.
It's the Biden era now. In the meantime, we have the incredible shrinking man, Donald J. Trump, hiding out in his bunker and tweeting. And then taking a daily trip to the golf course. And that's it. He wasn't much of a leader before, and he's none of a leader now.
Yeah. All right, we'll get into some Trump talk and Biden talk and some Rahm talk and all kinds of things. We'll get into national politics. But I want to I told you I would do this, get your thoughts on David Dinkins, who the mayor of New York City from 1989 to 1993, the first and only black man elected mayor of New York City. Right. And coincidentally, his reign as mayor of New York followed just after you left City Hall as press secretary, Eugene Sawyer, who was
actually they overlapped.
Okay, briefly, month. By one month? Month. Okay.
Yeah.
I said corrected.
I met him. If we went to New York, now maybe he was a candidate at the time, but if memory serves me right, he was the actual mayor just starting off. What I find really interesting is that he and Sawyer were of the same cast. You know, they were very much like soft-spoken gentlemen, not very aggressive, and both victims of big city racism.
Explain that. Go into that a little more. Both victims of big city racism. Go into that.
Okay. Sawyer lost to the factions of white Chicago. I mean, they set him up, they did him in. Now, he had help from some black aldermen, of course, but he lost that way. And the mayor of New York, Dinkins, lost because of Rudy Giuliani and his racist campaign that he ran. Rudy pulled a Trump on Dinkins before Trump was Trump. By that I mean he ran this racist campaign against where he was scaring New Yorkers on everything. And then Rudy got in office, of course, and turned New York into a police state where they were harassing black people constantly, black men stripping them down. And that that continues or has continued until of late. Joyce and I were in New York City, I want to say 6 or 7 years ago. And we had a black element, Honda element. And we were leaving town to go home to Chicago. And we had to cross one of the bridges. I forget which one. But anyway, we're in heavy traffic and meandering through crowded streets. And we had a cop on us, a New York cop tail on us, followed us for 15 minutes. They were with us so long, I started to pull over and ask them if there was anything we needed to talk about. But I decided that was too dangerous, so I just kept driving. But literally, they've trailed us until we got to the bridge, which went to New Jersey. And then they turned around and left. I don't know. I mean, but they could, you know, we didn't have darker windows, so they could see that there were two black people in the car. Hmm. We didn't have those. Yeah.
That was during the Rudy Giuliani years. The other thing, in addition to the heavy police tactics, they're similar between Chicago and New York. This is a general attitude that Dinkins and Sawyer had to confront. Follow me in this, Monroe. Okay. The notion that the city wasn't safe or secure if a person, a diplomatic type, like a Sawyer or a Dinkins was in charge, and that you need an authoritarian hand. And this is an attitude that's so just like ingrained in the minds of, I could say that definitely Chicagoans. I just saw this in City Surreal, the movie, the Steve James documentary, been talking about this a lot. I know you haven't seen it yet, but there's a scene in a penthouse where all these well-to-do people are sitting around, and this white banker is opining that he really doesn't want to go back to the days of Harold Washington because it was chaos. And right. we have order now in Chicago. I'm like, it always seems like it's just funny how people rewrite history in their own minds. But it just seemed like there was a coalition around Daley and around Giuliani in New York where white people secure.
And Dinkins was trying to reform the police department back then. Because it was during his reign that the guy, what's his name? He was an African or a Haitian, and the cops stuck a broomstick up him, raped him, before they killed him. I forget his name, but anyway, the New York cops were as bad as Chicago cops. And Dinkins was trying to change that. And, of course, he got the Kim Fox treatment before Kim Fox was Kim Fox.
Yeah, he got the Kim Fox treatment. Well, somehow or other, she prevailed. Anyway, rest in peace, David Dinkins. I thought he did an admirable job as mayor of New York.
He did.
And I thought he was a class act, total class act.
And when there was a police protest, that he, as ex-mayor, he attended a peaceful protest, and he was arrested along with Al Sampson. And he volunteered. He called Sampson and said he wanted to join him.
Sharpton, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Sharpton guy. Yeah, right, exactly.
Al Sharpton.
There's a reverend as Al Sampson in Chicago, but that's Sharpton. Sorry. Yeah.
Al Sharpton. Just a funny contrast. Great delight. When Giuliani defeated Dinkins, it was as though Dinkins, his reputation was damaged. It was Dinkins who had to retreat, and Giuliani was in full glory, like the emperor taking over New York, and people like bow down to the great Giuliani. And now I look, the New York Times had an obituary praising Dinkins. They're a little embarrassed because they were part of that crew, like blaming Dinkins in ways that they would never blame a white mayor. And now Giuliani is a joke. Giuliani has become a national buffoon and a clown. And so in some ways, Dinkins' reputation is improved over the years, and obviously Giuliani has deteriorated.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, Giuliani has no reputation left. He will forever be known as the clown with the hair dye dripping down both sides of his face.
Yeah. By the way, it wasn't dye. It was hairspray. My wife has brought that up to my attention many times. Not dye. It's like a spray paint that he put on his hair.
Wait, why would he do that? That doesn't make... I can remember back in the days when he was mayor, he had this comb over that was ridiculous that he used to have. But he's good and bald now. So what was he spraying? Side
herbs or something? Yes. I don't know. I cannot.
I know what it is. His hair has turned white. And so he wanted to look like a younger man.
I see. So
he dyed it brown. That's what it is. No, because you can see pictures of him with white hair. I mean, white hair, not gray.
Yeah. No, it's Rudy, my advice to you is just let it go and be at peace with the process of life.
He wanted to be Secretary of State.
Yes.
Trump first got in there.
Yeah.
And Trump said at that time to some other people that Rudy had lost a step or two.
And so...
Four years ago, he's lost a dozen or two steps.
Yeah, but somehow or other, it hasn't stopped Trump from hiring as his attorney.
Right. This is why Trump does that, because Trump likes people who go on TV and defend him. And Rudy will do that anytime, the drop of a dime, even if it makes sense or doesn't. But he'll be right there plugging for Donald.
Yeah, and so you're friends for life as long as you go on TV and plug for Donald.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you've seen the photograph of Rudy in drag where he kisses Donald.
Yes.
Yeah. So they have a very close relationship, shall we say.
All right. Now, before I lose connection to mayors and mayor talk, I got to get your thoughts on this. A lot of people come on my show of the leftist persuasion, very critical of Joe Biden for even remotely thinking of putting Rahm Emanuel in his cabinet. You have a different take. You don't think he's even thinking of it. Share your thoughts.
They slipped. They snuck. Rahm out of D.C. in the middle of the night and put him in charge of Chicago instead, rigged it so he could be in charge of Chicago instead. He was not, with his typical charm, Rahm was not the greatest chief of staff that any president has ever had. So he does not hold that high of a reputation in the nation's capital.
Yeah, well, I know. I've always thought, based on the books I've read. I've always thought, based on the books I've read about the early years of the Obama administration, that essentially Michelle Obama told Barack Obama, get rid of him. They cut the deal. They ushered him in as Daley was leaving to be mayor of Chicago, and the dummies in Chicago ratified that deal, much to their later regret. They found a way to save face by moving Rahm out of Washington without admitting that it was a mistake to have him as chief of staff in the first place. Biden was there for all that. So you would think he would have learned not to bring this guy.
Go ahead. Where's the rumor coming from? Do you know? Or is it Rahm's rumor? Yeah, they're thinking about putting me on the cabinet.
I know. You know, it is pretty funny. It's like the Tribune and Cranes. Yeah, sources close to the Biden camp say that they're considering Rahm Emanuel. It's probably Rahm.
Yeah, because they're naming all the named people. I mean, that's being leaked already. And I haven't heard this leaked except any place but in Chicago about Rahm being on a cabinet.
Well let me just say this. Joe Biden, you're going to have a very difficult time in the coming years dealing with the Trump crew in Washington. If you don't win Georgia, you're going to have a really difficult time dealing with Mitch McConnell in the Senate. The last thing you need, the last thing you need is all the lefties mad at you for putting Brom there. Just think about that.
Right. Because the lefties, although I don't think it's going to be a big problem initially. 2 years from now, it may be. But the lefties are not happy that they're not getting more positions in the cabinet than they thought they
more?
Were.
More? I haven't seen any. We've just the national security. They're never going to put a lefty in national security. So, but we'll have to wait and see. But it's just an unforced error.
They want Elizabeth Warren, and they want Bernie.
Well,
I can't see that happening under any circumstances whatsoever. Not because of their politics, but because they are senators.
Yeah.
And President Biden is going to need every senator he can muster.
Yeah.
And especially those with some national prestige. He's going to need them in there fighting for him against the Republicans. Yeah. Especially now if the Democrats win Georgia, and so it's a 50-50 situation, then obviously he's going to need them there. It won't be a 50-50 situation. For example, with Elizabeth Warren, you have a Republican governor. So if she leaves, the Republican gets to name the next senator until a special election is held. And he won't be naming a radical or lefty Democrat to replace a lefty Democrat. That won't happen.
He won't name any Democrat, lefty, radical, or what have you. That would be the dumbest move that Biden cannot possibly make that move.
No.
Well, actually, I don't know. Yeah, that would be dumber than putting Rahm in the administration, into the cabinet. And Bernie.
And the thing is, what's amazing about Biden is he has played this thing perfectly so far. I mean, the winning of the president, his campaigning was perfectly done. And his rollout, his transition is really impressive.
Why do you say that? You're really impressed with Joe Biden in a way. I'm not quite ready to jump on this bandwagon. Not quite ready to jump on this bandwagon, but explain why you're so impressed with it.
Did you see the cabinet? The defense people.
And yes, the national security side of it. Yes.
Exactly. Very impressive lineup. Unlike Trump's cabinet, Biden's cabinet looks like America 2021. Trump's cabinet looks like America 1955.
That's fair enough. Can't argue with that point. Right. I'm not doing this to defend Trump. Trust me when I tell you. I just, I hear you loud and clear.
You Bernie guys still trying to. I can't believe it. Biden is president, and he's going to be president, and he's doing a good job. He's the perfect man for this time.
I can't argue with any of this. As a Bernie guy, it does sting a little bit. Just a little, not a lot, okay?
Yeah.
Just a little. I mean, I just want you to know, Monroe,
yes.
I've been a good sport. I've never had a lefty win anything. Yeah. And so I'm always going along with the centrists. I did it with Clinton. I did it with Obama. Now I'm ready to do it.
Well, everybody thought Obama was a lefty.
No.
Yeah.
Come on.
They did. They thought he was. I mean, they didn't think it by the time it was over, or some did.
Listen, but Obama's greatest move, in my humble opinion, in those early days when he was positioning himself to run for higher office was to show up at that anti-war rally in Chicago. And that, because that enabled him to position himself as anti-war in contrast to Hillary Clinton and help him win Iowa. And I know you're right. All those lefties in Iowa are like, well, he was against the war. He was, right. You know, and Hillary was for the war. And all the lefties in Iowa voted for Obama. And then, you know what happened next when he went to Iowa. Black voters throughout America are like, whoa, white people voted for him. He can win, right, Moreau?
Right.
And the rest is history.
We got a shot at this.
Yes, we got a shot. By the way, are you loving the Obama, PR campaign for his book? Are you enjoying Obama's appearances? I see him. He's making appearances on YouTube shows and radio talk shows and TV shows, and he's being Obama. Are you enjoying that?
Right. Oh, yeah. His people, when he was president, and he would occasionally do that. He would refer to himself. He would say, "The bear is unleashed." That's, you know, he's been. Of course, I think Key and Peele did a better job with it when they had his alter ego Luther. I think that was really the bear unleashed when they did that.
He's really enjoying himself. Obama's taking a victory parade. His arch enemy has been defeated, Donald Trump, and defeated by his vice president. So you know what I mean? You think about tit for tat. You know that moment at that press, the Washington press course gathering in Washington, where Barack Obama gave the speech mocking Donald Trump while Trump was sitting there humiliating Trump after Trump had tried to, you know, to undercut Obama with the birther stuff. Right. And so Trump got his revenge, you know, his revenge in 2016. And now here we are. It's like a wrestling match, Monroe. Here we are in 2020.
And what's really incredible about it is Trump, during the 4 years he was in there, did everything he could to get rid of everything Obama. He's trying to erase Obama's legacy completely, mainly through executive orders. And now, when Biden takes office on January 20th, the first day, he's going to issue a bunch of executive orders reversing executive orders.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, Trump is trying to protect his legacy by putting the most incompetent people in America in these key positions so they could do the things that Trump wants done, and trying to make it so that it won't be easy for Biden to overturn them.
I've not been able to, I haven't seen any updates since I've been on the air. Yesterday, the story broke in the New York Times, at least that's where I saw it, that Donald Trump was considering pardoning Michael Flynn.
Yes.
And General Flynn, has he done that yet today while I've been
he's just warming up, you know. Before these 50 days or so are done, Trump is going to be like Oprah with the car. You get a pardon. He's just going to go on and on with that. And in fact, there's some discussion as to whether he's going to try to pardon himself or not.
Yeah, we've had that conversation in the past. I don't know how he can pardon himself for stuff he hasn't officially been charged with yet. You know what I mean? Is he just like a general pardon?
No. You're right. No, a president can do that. A president can pardon not himself but others. I mean, that's how Nixon got
away. Yeah, you're right. Gerald Ford.
Right. Exactly. He hadn't been charged with anything yet. He was going to be charged, but Ford
that's said, a valid point.
Right. And so Trump can do that, although it's going to be very interesting, to say the least, if he could actually pardon himself. And last but least, I am pardoning the one that needs to be most pardoned. Me! And actually, the beauty of this whole thing is you only get pardoned if you've committed a crime, or you're more than likely committed a crime, like with Nixon.
Yeah.
You know, you and I are not going to get pardoned for anything.
No, because right. Yeah, we haven't done anything. Well, there's also the fact the state versus federal situation, because there's New York prosecutors coming after him. So right. I don't think he has jurisdiction there. Although, knowing Trump, that will not stop him from trying.
But no, his problem is that there are some New York prosecutors that have big targets on him in the red light. From the sight on the gun is on the middle of that target.
Metaphorically speaking.
Yeah, right. Legally speaking, yes.
Legally speaking. The other thing he's clearly trying to do is, in any way he can, is to sabotage Joe Biden's administration, even before it begins, even before he's officially conceded, still hasn't conceded that he lost.
And the president of China has congratulated Biden today. Ching.
Mm-hmm. The president of China did it before the president of the United States.
Yes.
I don't think he'll ever congratulate Biden. The most toxic thing he's doing is, you know, he has his Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, take the stimulus money. I think it's $455 billion unspent stimulus money, put it back in the Treasury. So Biden will need legislative authority to get access to it. This is money that's already been approved for Americans who really need it.
Right.
And so this is just a shameful act of sabotage that's hurting Americans.
Exactly. You know, and if it had been for building the wall, then Trump would have left it alone.
Yeah, if Trump would have left it alone. And this is where I would like to see the Democrats a little more forceful, you know, in terms of criticizing that and drawing attention. You know, Trump would have done it, Monroe.
The thing is, I mean, Trump is doing right now as we speak, he's doing horrible things, and he's not doing things that are and being horrible in the process. For example, no leadership whatsoever on COVID-19. Mm-hmm. You think that it was over and that we could all be partying like it's 1999 or something. The Democrats I don't know how much they're doing, but they ought to be in Georgia just Trump drum about how bad Trump is, and that unless they get the two Democratic Senate candidates in the Senate, that Trumpism will continue even without Trump in the White House.
You know, I'm generally a sort of a pessimistic person when it comes to predicting victory for my teams. I've been conditioned to assume the worst just by years of being a lefty in politics and years of being like a Bulls fan, except for those six Jordan years. My teams usually don't do well.
And you're a Cubs fan too, right?
Cubs fan and White Sox. I like them both. And I'm actually at the moment, I just cannot... Just to share this with you, Monroe, I cannot follow the Bears. They are so disgraceful. Every time I look at their quarterbacks, I just think of the quarterback they didn't take. But I'm used to losing with the Bears too, okay? But at the moment, I'm just ignoring.
You know, I'm beginning to suspect that the Bears are just having trouble with having a black quarterback.
Yes. Thank you for saying that.
And they're suffering for
it. Yes. They won't admit it. That's right. That never will get discussed in the city. Right. But having said all that, I had this tinge. Yesterday we were talking to Miles Konflassen from In These Times. When I was listening to Miles, I was like, could the Democrats possibly win both seats in Georgia and snatch the Senate from Mitch McConnell? Is that what the tea leaves are saying? Now, Monroe, you don't have this concern. I really have always appreciated that in you. You're not like in a fetal position going, we're going to lose.
You know, because I think we're going to win the Georgia. I think we're going to take Georgia. And I think I've said this on your show. The reason is that the Democrats have a ground game. They have 800,000 new voters that they've registered. And they have plans to get them out to vote. The Republicans are trying to catch up. Although I saw a report today that the Republicans do have a serious organizing effort on Hispanics, and that may make the difference in Georgia.
I don't know. I saw that same article. I read that same article. Yeah. And I've always been reading articles about Republicans and Hispanic voters. And, well, you know, it's just such
the Cubans made a difference in Florida, and I guess it was Mexicans in Texas.
Yeah, but here's the reality is it's like when I read those articles, the people who are writing them, they have this underlying assumption that there is a quote unquote Latino or Hispanic prototype.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's such an erroneous assumption. Right. You got to know it's a very diverse community that's been clumped into one.
Exactly. And well, in Chicago, I can't speak for the entire country, but in Chicago, the Mexicans don't like the Puerto Ricans and vice versa. I mean, they don't hate each other, but they don't like each other. The Puerto Ricans were referring to this is back from my political days, back in the 80s, of course. But the Puerto Ricans were referring to the Mexicans as pie faces because of the round feature. And I forgot what the Mexicans referred to the Puerto Ricans as.
Yeah, well, there's obviously these rivalries within the city. Although I will point out that Luis Gutierrez, who was Puerto Rican, was the congressman year after year in a district that was largely Mexican American, and then he became a champion of immigration rights, which doesn't even affect Puerto Ricans because they're already citizens. Right. So. In Chicago, I think there's more of a unity than like you said, Cuban Americans in Miami, Mexican Americans on the border who live in Texas on the border with Mexico. I mean, it's just Mexican Americans who live in Nevada or Arizona. It's just different groups of voters. It's right. So the notion that, well, Republicans are making inroads with Latinos in Georgia, it's like so weak and lazy. By the way, Trump got 28% according to an exit poll, and we can't even trust those. No. So I don't know if that's going to be you get what I'm saying? But if they could take away from the fact that it was like all white people lined up who voted for David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler to send them back to Congress, to the Senate, so they can be Mitch McConnell's puppets. If they can somehow or other blame some Hispanic guy in Georgia, the media will do that. But no, I'm just saying. I just been reading these stories for a long time.
Yeah, well, we've got to watch Georgia, but I can easily see the two Democrats going.
Well, I'm really hoping that would be, and then ultimately your prediction would have come true. And that's where I want to close it. I want to say, I gave you a shout out in my reader newsletter today. I haven't sent it to you, but I will after the show. I was giving thanks. I gave myself thanks. I said that from the start of the year until now, I was beaming out vibrations to defeat Donald Trump. I was trying to manifest it, as the millennials say. But I go, the ultimate manifester is Monroe Anderson. This dude has been talking trash about Donald Trump from the moment he walked, really from the moment he walked down the stairs to announce he was running for president.
He didn't walk. He rode. that's, you know, they've been doing this Sleepy Joe thing when they were trying to beat Biden. And in the meantime, Biden is jogging up to him, and Trump is dragging along like, well, once I start talking, I get animated, but up until then, I need to catch my breath.
Yeah. But by the way, you'll get a kick out of this. I don't know. I just looked at Trump's one of his last. He hasn't been tweeting that much. I guess he's just tired at the moment. But he tweeted out.
He's embarrassed. I mean, he has been humiliated, and he can't figure out a way to excuse it or spin it or lie about it, and he's trying, but none of it's working. And so he canceled his trip to Mar-a-Lago for Thanksgiving. And that's because normally he would be down there glad-handing with his rich pals. You know, screw COVID-19, who cares about that? But he doesn't want to look them in the eye and then look at him whispering to him, yeah, he sure ain't get his butt beat.
I don't feel so. Anyway, but that last, he had this one tweet that said a Newsmax poll, according to a Newsmax poll, which of course is the right wing outlet, that's even more to the right than Fox. Yeah. When asked, did Joe Biden cheat to steal the election? 98% said yes or something like that. Wow. If only the country were run by Newsmaxes.
It's too close. It's too close for that to begin with. If Nixon had Newsmax and Fox, he never would have been chased out of office.
That's
they
right.
Would have
been in office. That's right. That's how much things have deteriorated. All right, Monroe, I hope you have a really happy Thanksgiving. I assume it's going to be a quiet one.
Yes, John. Me and the missus, and that's it.
We have a turkey at least?
Oh, yeah, I'm barbecuing a turkey. Yeah. We'll have a very nice turkey. I've decided I'm going to have a Thanksgiving dinner as I would if I had family there, but it'd just be the two of us. So,
Have a great Thanksgiving, and same to Joyce, and stay safe and sound. And we'll talk to you next Wednesday. All right.
Yeah. If Trump is still in office, Trump may have left. It may go to Mar-a-Lago or just stay. Just say, I'm tired of trying to pretend like I want to run the country anymore. Not that I lost. I'm done. I'm quitting.
Well, we'll see. We still have Trump at least until January, even if he's hiding out in Mar-a-Lago. And I got a feeling Mitch McConnell will be an adequate substitute for Trump, and more Trump.
Yes. Yes.
I want to thank Monroe Anderson. Outstanding job, as he always does. And I want to thank absolutely all our listeners for your support and just all the emails and the texts that you send me. Frank, I want to thank you in particular, keeping me informed, because you know, I'm on the air. I miss many of the news stories as they break. So thank you to all the listeners. And of course, special thanks to the man, the myth, the legend, the pride of joy in all Illinois, without whom the show would be possible. And as Frank and Monroe and Mayor Lori Lightfoot all agree, back home in Alton, they call up Dr. D. And D, give yourself a raise, take it out of petty cash, and have some pumpkin pie with it. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Play the radio. Play the radio. Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night. The phone, make sure the kids hear word.
Nearly 1,000 miles. Nearly 1,000 miles. I just biked around Lake Michigan.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.